This sermon was delivered at Grand Avenue Baptist Church, a gospel-centered church in Ames, Iowa. Hear more sermons and learn more about Grand Avenue at gabcames.org.
Okay, we'll go ahead and get started. So, good morning, everybody. Dean asked me to come up with a foundations topic when his new baby was coming, and so his new baby was born yesterday, and so here we are. And today we're going to talk about contentment and long suffering, and it's one of those things where the Lord has just like used so many things over the past couple of weeks, especially the sermons and Bible studies and just books that I've been reading, to kind of fill in on a lot of these ideas about contentment and how we as Christians engage with that, especially through long suffering and just in our lives in general. And so I have lots of books up here that I've been reading this past week, all Puritans. So Jeremiah Burroughs, The Rare Jewel of Christian Contentment, I drew a lot from. And then Thomas Wasson's All Things for Good, which our small group went through last year. They just have some really good ways of like framing this topic up and putting it together. So I didn't expect Michael's sermon this morning to start out with a catechism question, because mine will also start with a catechism question. And it's important in how we view these like contentment from a biblical perspective. And so that question is from the Westminster Shorter Catechism: what is the chief end of man? And does anybody have the answer? I see Katie's hand. Do you want to give it a go? To glorify God and enjoy him forever. And that, in the glorification of God and enjoying him forever, is kind of where we as Christians should be living in how we view contentment. Right? Because all things are from the Lord's hands. Even the long suffering and even just these questions that we deal with, especially when we are discontent or when we have hardships that we engage with. So Burroughs, his definition for how we should engage with contentment is this: Christian contentment is that sweet, inward, quiet, gracious frame of spirit, which freely submits to and delights in God's wise and fatherly disposal in every direction. And I like that idea of it being that sweet, inward, quiet, gracious frame of spirit that we have. And we can only get this through Christ. Because he perfectly content through his move up to the cross, but I'm getting ahead of myself. Contentment is also a gift from the Lord. We pursue it through faith, submission, and the word, but ultimately it is a work of the Spirit who aligns our hearts, wants, desires, and needs with God's. And that is also key as we deal with this contentment. It's also just like a joyful submission to the Lord. So these are how we can engage with contentment, even in these periods of long suffering, and we'll get into later, is the suffering is for the good of the believer in how we view God. And I think when we engage with discontentment, when we are looking inwardly, when we're thinking of ourselves, we're not having a right view of God. And because of that, then we become discontent. And we lose sight of the actual prize. And so that's where we as the Christian should be, with this righteous view of God. And we see that in Philippians 4 and 4 through 7. Does somebody want to read Philippians 4, 4 and 4 through 7? Josh.
Prayer
Yeah, the Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God, and he will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Paul goes later on in that chapter of Philippians 4, which if you were in the men's Bible studies, you read, at least our group read this past week. I don't know if we're behind or not. I just love how the Lord always just puts scripture right in your way when you're about to do something. And the Lord has been so gracious this whole past week, putting so much scripture in my way. Paul goes on later in 4:11b through 13, not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, the end of that verse we commonly see in sports paint, but usually taken out of context because it's not about a physical strength that the Lord is giving us, but it's about how we as Christians live in contentment. Because we have, Paul's like, he knows how to be brought low. He knows how to abound. He has learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. Now, unlike Paul, I don't have the secret of contentment at all. Like, and I don't think many Christians will. Paul's a very special kind of character. But it's something that as we go through our life, we're going to face, like, whether it's decisions about school, whether you're facing hardships with your family, whether you're unable to have children, whether there's all these things that the Lord will put into our life, whether or not you will be married or anything. These are things that seem to us as good gifts, but the Lord sometimes chooses not to give those to us. One, it's because he's teaching us to be under his feet. And that is where we as believers should be. We should just be under the Lord's feet, knowing that he will be taking care of us. And that's where we can find contentment. And it's not something that we ourselves are going to find. Like, Paul has his contentment here because it's through Christ. So we won't, like, we can strive after contentment. We can be like, wow, Lord, I'm really going to be really content in this one thing. Like, you may be suffering in, like, the worst job situation, and you've applied to a ton of other jobs, and there's just nothing. Or the Lord may have turned his face from you, and you're not in, like, this really spiritual era. We still can be content in those things because that comes from the Lord. I think especially when we're going through trials, James 1 is always a comfort. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given him. Those trials that the Lord gives us are to teach us to seek after him, to love him, and to be content in him. And I think the greatest picture of contentment we find is in Jesus. And I'm quoting from Jeremiah Burroughs again. And he says, no one ever denied himself as much as Jesus Christ did. He gave his cheeks to the smiters. He opened not his mouth. He was as a lamb when he was led to the slaughter. He made no noise in the street. He denied himself above all and was willing to empty himself. And so he was the most contented that ever any was in the world. And I think when we're striving after that picture of contentment, we need to think about Jesus when he says, not my will, but your will be done. That is contentment. When we don't look at ourselves, but we can see the glory of the Lord and we're under his feet. I think one thing that is key is how we as Christians deny ourselves. So even when the Lord's not giving us these gifts, like we don't get the job that we wanted, we're in just these hard seasons, we're dealing with loved ones who are sick, Or we're being chastised, we're being persecuted for our faith, right? How we submit to Christ, how we deny ourselves and our wants will align us with what the Lord wants for us. And these trials that he puts us through to prepare us for glory, because ultimately that's what he's doing. And I love this quote from Watson, in All Things for Good. He says, "Afflictions work for our good as they make way for glory. Not that they merit glory, but they prepare for it. As plowing prepares the earth for a crop, so afflictions prepare and make us meet or make suitable for glory. The painter lays his gold upon dark colors. So God first lays the dark colors of affliction, and then he lays the golden color of glory. The vessel is seasoned before wine is poured into it. The vessels of mercy are first seasoned with affliction. Then the wine of glory is poured in. Thus we see afflictions are not prejudicial, but beneficial to the saints. We should not so much look at the evil of affliction as the good, not so much at the dark side of the cloud as the light. The worst that God does to his children is to whip them to heaven." I love the picture of that last little bit, because the Lord's lashes are so merciful. And I think, are we willing to be whipped under the gracious lashes of the Lord? And we're reading Christian Marriage by Martin Lloyd-Jones, and Jones uses this like gym analogy where the Lord, through sanctification, he like puts you in this gym and he works you out to prepare you for glory, right? And so we as Christians, that should be where we're sitting in, because contentment is part of the sanctification process. It's not something that we strive to, but it's something that the Spirit in our lives works out. And the Lord is going to send so many trials. Like, part of what the Christian should expect is trials, like, bottom line. And in that, how we face those trials is the Lord continue to teach us more, right? There's so many trials. I want to read this one long section, because the imagery is a little bit, I just need to read it, because it is good. Because it's how we face suffering and turn it to the Lord. We shouldn't be indwelling on our suffering, but we should be looking to the Lord and being like, how, Lord, are you working through this thing in my life? We may not see it, right? Like, when we were in the middle of the COVID pandemic, we didn't really see what the Lord was doing. But as we go back and look now, we can see the majesty of the Lord and how he's purifying the church and sending believers across the states and across the world to spread the gospel. And the gospel went forth through COVID. And so let me read this. "The creatures suffer for us. Why should we not be willing to suffer to be serviceable to God? God subjects other creatures. They are fain to lose their lives for us, to lose whatever beauty and excellence they have, to be serviceable to us. Why should not we be willing to part with anything in service for God? Certainly, there is not as great a distance between other creatures and mankind as there is between mankind and God." This is an expression of the martyr, Master Hooper, which we read in the Book of the Martyrs. "In laboring to work his own heart and the hearts of others to contentedness in the midst of his sufferings, he has this comparison, and you may put it to mind of it every day. He said, 'I look upon the creature and see what it suffers to be useful to me. Thus the brute beasts must die, must be roasted in the fire and boiled, must come on to the plate, be hacked all in pieces, must be chewed in the mouth and in the stomach turned to that which is loathsome, if one should behold it, and all to nourish me, to be useful to my body, and I shall not I be willing to be made anything for God, for his service? What an abundance of alterations the creature undergoes to be made useful for me, to preserve me. Then if God will do so with me for his use, as he subjects the creatures to me for my use, why should I not rest contented? If God will take away my wealth and make me poor, if God will take away life, hack me to pieces, put me in prison, whatever he does, Yet I shall not suffer more for God than the creature does for me. And surely I am infinitely more bound to God than the creature is to me, and there is not so much distance between me and the creature as between me and God. Such considerations as these wrought at the heart of the martyr to contentedness in his sufferings. And every time the creature is upon your plates, you may think, what? Does God make the creature suffer for my use, not only for my nourishment, but for my delight? What am I then in respect of the infinite God? And I think if we, graphic imagery there of like meat on the plate and like the Lord giving that us to for us for our nourishment, the Lord is doing the same with us in our trials, right? He is making us as meat for heaven in a play on the words, making us ready for heaven. And I think there is no beautiful picture of seeing that when you can watch a believer be prepared for heaven. And I had the privilege of observing my dad be made glorious for glory. And he lost all his cares of the world, and he was contented as he lay dying. And he lost his taste, and he lost his smell, and he lost those idols that are so root us to this world. And it was so beautiful to see that and to see how the Lord prepares us for it. And in our trials, that's what the Lord is doing. He's making us for his glory. And we should be content in that. We should not look to ourselves, not woe is me, but all the glory to God. I love this hymn by a modern hymn writer, Wendell Kimbrough, Eternal Weight of Glory. And there is a line in it that says, we will see our wounded Savior, we'll behold him face to face, and we'll hear our anguish stories sung as victory songs of grace. And I think as we prepare, as the Lord prepares us for glory, those trials that he gives us, those hardships, maybe it's an exam that you're like grumbling and complaining over, or it's a job situation, or it's you really want to be married and the Lord has not given that to you, or you really want children and the Lord has not given that to you. He is preparing you for glory. And when we get there, we'll sing those songs and we'll see the complete plan of the Lord in what he's doing. We'll end a little bit early, because I don't have any questions for you guys, so let's pray. And you guys can ask questions if you want to. Father, we thank you for the work of your Son and for his complete contentedness when he said, not my will but yours be done. Lord, he gave himself for us that we might attain contentment. And ultimately, Lord, that he will prepare us for glory. Lord, we thank you that contentment is not something that we aspire to, that we can attain through our works, Lord, but it's something that we arrive at through the work of your Spirit and how we deny ourselves and we take up our cross and we follow you. Lord, we thank you, Lord, and just bless the rest of our day. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're like super ended early, but that's okay. Do you guys have any questions? Yes. Yeah, thank you. Thank you.